Praise the Lord. Thank God for all of you that are joining us. This Present Truth is on the air. I'm your host, Pastor Mark Copeland. Let's pray together. Father, how we thank and bless you for the opportunity to share the Word of God together. We thank you for each viewer and person that is on today. We pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts to the Scripture, that you would give us insight beyond our years of understanding, Lord, that you would help us see into the Scripture what you're saying to us directly. I pray that you give us ears to hear and prepared hearts. Thank you for your help today, Lord God, and the subject that we're pressing on, Lord, that you're impressing upon our hearts. We pray that you would impact these that are viewing today. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. We thank God for all of you that are joining us. Would you grab your devices and your Bibles and look with me in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. I'd like to share a couple things out of these passages that have to do with not worrying about worry. Not worrying about worry. Verse 25 in the New King James Version, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 25. This is the New King James, and we're going to read some other translations as well. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on. Here's the question that I want us to consider. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Then he gives some other things to consider. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Another probing question. Are you not more valuable than they? The answer to these questions, rather, is an affirmative yes. Life is more important than food. And the body is more important than clothing. You wouldn't know that today just by the way people hardly wear any clothing, but the body is more important than what you put on it. Then he directs their attention somewhere else to help them understand that God is capable of providing for his children. There's no need to worry. Notice, are you not more valuable than they? The comparison was with the fowls of the air, the birds. Does God take care of them? Yes, he does. He says, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store. He's showing us that whether you sow or reap or store up, God's responsibility is still to take care of his children. And to answer this question, brothers and sisters, yes, we are more valuable than birds. Birds can't do the work of God. Birds can't talk. Birds can't communicate. Birds can't carry the Holy Spirit. So yes, we are valuable. And yes, God wants to demonstrate to us that he can care for us. However, there is a contaminant that we need to beware of called worry. In verse 25, he says, I say unto you, do not worry about your life. Do not worry about your life. Now, to just kind of bring you up to speed, brothers and sisters, that this is from chapter 5 of Matthew all the way to the end of chapter 7, verse 29 of chapter 7, Jesus is having this discussion with his disciples. In chapter 5, verse 1, seeing the multitude, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him, and then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. So from verse 3 of chapter 5, to verse 29 of chapter 7. This is called the Sermon on the Mount. But what this is a discourse to the disciples about how to live on earth, how to live, how to carry themselves, how to represent God. Jesus was very explicit and particular about who was going to carry this life. The Bible says that his disciples came to him and were seated, and he opened his mouth and taught them. So the instruction that we see from the Sermon on the Mount that started in chapter 5 and goes all the way to the end of chapter 7 is just being spoken to disciples. The multitude weren't in on what Jesus is teaching these about life situations. And one of the things that he emphasizes with disciples, because he understands the human condition, having come to live in flesh, one of the things he's emphasizing with them is to not worry about living, not worrying, period. Here in this passage, he says, do not worry about your life. And what is life made up of? He mentions what you will eat, what you will drink, or your body, what you will put on. Those are the basic necessities of life. And Jesus is telling his disciples, don't worry about life. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about these components, because most of the people that live on the earth worry about these things. But you don't have to. So he's making an emphasis. Do not worry about your life. You know, it just causes us, or causes me to think, brothers and sisters, how often do we worry? And how often do we worry about our lives? As a believer, as a child of God, as a ministry gift, as a leader, an elder, a pastor, an apostle, prophet. How is your life as it relates to worry? Are you worrisome? Do you worry about your retirement and if you're going to have enough money one day? Worry. Jesus says to his disciples, I say unto you, do not worry about your life. That the issue that people could be having with God is that they worry about their life too much. I wonder how many of you viewing right now are in situations that have provoked you to worry about your life. Jesus says, do not worry about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink. Don't worry about what you're going to put on. Now, he's having this dialogue with his disciples, and I want you guys to see as he's making comparisons with the birds of the air and their importance to disciples. There's no comparison. He says in verse 27, which of you worrying can add one cubit to your stature? Worry can't add anything to your life. Worry can't add anything to your heart that's going to help you stop worrying. So Jesus says, stop worrying about your life. You see the birds, don't you? Does God care for them? Do you see the birds struggling and needing to go get jobs? No. He says, aren't you more important than them? Yes, Lord, we are. Then why don't you recognize they don't sow, they don't reap, and they don't have savings accounts, but your Heavenly Father cares for them. Brothers and sisters, do you understand that you are more important than birds, the fowls of the air, that God keeps and protects and cares for? Now, I'm talking about as a child of God. I'm not talking about somebody that's not serving Jesus. I'm not talking about somebody that's not born again. No, they're in darkness. And if they don't repent, they're going to perish. I'm talking about children of God. I'm talking about those that have committed their life to Jesus and are now serving him. The Lord would have you know, you're not to worry about your life. Stop worrying about worry. Worry is not something that God intended to govern the life of his children. Stop worrying about your life. Notice he's encouraging the disciples by saying, why do you worry about clothing? Verse 28, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Notice he's using examples as it relates to their importance. Disciples are more important than birds. And disciples cannot add one inch to their stature by worrying. Worrying doesn't add anything to your life. Verse 28. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. The lilies of the field, these flowers that are giving off a fragrance and oxygen so that we can live on the planet and breathe in air and all of that, if you understand how agriculture and things work. Jesus is using this as an example to the disciples. Stop worrying about your life. I really want to encourage those of you that are viewing today. I have a strong sense in my heart that too many of God's children worry about things that God has already provided for us. We're not supposed to worry about what's been provided. We're not supposed to worry about anything, because in your salvation experience, God took your entire life and has begun caring for you out of that. God himself is caring for every aspect of your life. Whenever a need arises in the life of a child of God, God is the one that says, I have that. I have that. I have that need. God, brothers and sisters, contrary to what people are portraying him as these days, God, our Heavenly Father, is not an illegitimate dad. He's not someone who just can't. He got kids all over and he just can't take care of them. They just in all kind of mess. No. God, in his sovereign wisdom, has a purpose and a plan for every one of his children. Do you know what yours is? If not, you will worry. You won't even understand that your life is more important than the fowls of the air, or that your life is more important and than anything else, like clothes or food or drink. You're more valuable than you actually understand you are. God himself, having redeemed you, washed you in his blood, now with your acceptance, wants to guide and lead your life for the rest of your life until you go to heaven. This fake belief that we have today that I received God, now I can go live my life the way I want and still go to heaven, is false teaching. It's false teaching. If you're living that kind of life, you should worry about your life, because you need to pick a side. Are you with God, or you with darkness? Or there's another group, are you with yourself? Because that too is in opposition to God. The self-life. Now, what I want you to see here in this passage is that God is bringing about this do not worry. You see it in verse 25. You see it again in verse 31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? There it is again with an emphasis. Do not worry about your life. Stop worrying. It's as though it's an emphasis, like stop worrying about your life. Stop worrying how you're going to live, and how am I going to take care of this, and how am I going to pay for this, and I only get this much money coming in, and I got this much going out, and how am I going to take care of this, and how. Listen. Stop worrying about your life. You are out of the will of God every time you worry as to how you're going to take care of something. Let me help you. You're not going to take care of anything. God takes care of everything. You say, oh, wait a minute. The Lord helps those who helps themselves. Where is that in Scripture? How did you help yourself in the salvation experience? How did that work out for you? What did you do? Right. Nothing. You received what God was offering in grace, or you didn't get saved. And my brother, my sister, if you're watching this broadcast and you're around the people of God, but you yourself haven't made a decision, you are lost. You ain't saved because you hang around saved people. No, that's not how it works. It don't like, saved don't rub off on us. No. You either have him or you don't. Do you have him today, my brother, my sister? Or you just hang out in the camp of the righteous, but you yourself are not righteous. That's a dangerous play, my friend. That's a dangerous way to live, because those individuals are going to be dealt with one day. You read Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But the blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. He, that blessed man, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, we normally stop there because we're just talking about the blessed man. But if you keep reading in that verse, he says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. Guess what else? Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. So they're growing with the wheat now as tares, but at harvest, there's going to be a separation. And my brother, my sister, if you've just been hanging around the saints and you're an ain't, you've been hanging around the people of God, but you're not saved, my brother, my sister, what are you doing with your life? You should worry about your life, because if you haven't come into the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, then my brother, my sister, you are lost. And your belief don't matter. Your belief don't matter. You could be a Hebrew Israelite. You could be a Jehovah Witness. You could be a Mormon. It doesn't matter. You could wear a white shirt, and when you die, you're going to hell because you never received Christ as your personal Savior. And what's going to become of the white clean shirt that you had on trying to represent a pure God? And here it is, you don't even know him. My brother, my sister, we need to heed these instructions, not to worry about our lives. This is an important instruction for the disciples who have just laid down their life and have determined that they're going to follow Jesus. He went up into the mountain while the multitude stayed. The disciples went up to meet him and sat down. And the Bible says, when he was set, he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, hallelujah, that this teaching that Jesus has given is just for the disciples. There's no mixture in this instruction. There's no multitude that's also listening. This is just for the disciples. Stop worrying about your life. Man of God, if you're in discipleship, you don't have to worry about how you're going to live no more. Stop worrying about your life. How much is coming in? How much is going out? We got to stop doing this. We got to start doing this. And then, you know, what are we going to do? How are we going to do that? Do you know that, man of God, you drive your wife crazy when you're unstable about how God's going to provide? She's trying to help you. She's designed and equipped and wired to help you. But you worry. You're a worry wart. Worry about everything. Now, guess what? She's going to help you, but help you worry. Now the both of you going to be in a home, and it's going to be cantankerous and contention everywhere, all because you're worrying about life, and you've provoked her to worry to help you. Now both of you are worrying. Now the kids are worrying. Oh my God, what's happening to mom and dad? Oh my God, what's going to happen? Oh my God, are we going to stop? Worry is ruling homes these days, all because dad, the man, the father, the head of the house, the priest, the prophet of the home is worrisome. What it shows is he's not in discipleship properly, Discipleship gives two types of rest. Jesus says in the same Matthew's gospel, the 11th chapter, coming to him, if you're burdened, you can receive rest. But taking the yoke of discipleship brings rest that's soulish, rest for your soul. Everybody doesn't have soulish rest. Many are very uneasy about their life, worrisome, restless. Why? They haven't learned this principle. Stop worrying about your life. The disciples did not have to worry about what they were going to eat, what they were going to drink. They didn't have to worry about a savings account. They didn't have to worry about their money. They never used it because they were with Jesus, and Jesus walked under an open heaven. So he didn't need offerings, and he didn't need ministry partners. This mess that people are doing, just bewildering people out of their money. Partner with us. For what? What are you offering? That's not of God. You don't solicit for funds, and you don't receive from every hand. You trust God for whatever you need. That's what he's trying to teach the disciples. So what does he tell them to do? It's like, Lord, how do we do this? He says, listen, the Gentiles seek after the things that you're worrying about. Notice verse 30, 32. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all of these things. Brothers and sisters, please understand that there isn't anything happening in your life that God doesn't know about. He knows about the little chick on the side. He knows about the brother that you're showing a little more attention to than the other brother. God sees everything. He doesn't miss nothing. But what he sees more than anything else is how we feel about his ability to care for us. Many times, often, God is grieved. He said, the Gentiles seek after these things. Don't worry about them. He says, but you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things that you've been worrying about. What happens, Jesus? They're added unto you. They're already a part of your life. They're added. Needs are added as they arise. You don't have to ask God for what's needed all the time. Because he says right here, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He knows. He knows. That should be your response instead of worry. Lord, I know you know about that. And I'm leaving that in your hands. I'm trusting you to handle that. He says, do not worry, saying, what do we eat? What do we drink? What shall we wear? For your heavenly Father, he says, for after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. Now, I want to just close today, brothers and sisters, reading this in another translation, and I want you to consider this aspect of worry and what it is, because the Amplified gives us a translation that I don't want you to miss as we close this episode in prayer. He says in the Amplified Classic, no one can serve two masters, verse 24, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will stand by and be devoted to the one and despise and be against the other. Notice, you cannot serve God and mammon, parens, deceitful riches, money, possessions, and whatever is trusted in is defined as mammon. Notice, mammon is mentioned in four different manifestations. Mammon, or the spirit of mammon, can be served as a master. Mammon is also deceitful riches. You know, the people that come to your house with the briefcase and try to show you the plan that'll set you up, because if your five can get five that can get another five, then that's going to boost you up and all of this. No, deceitful riches, deceitful riches. All network marketing is deceitful riches. All of it, all of it, All of it. I know you got the plan, but how's that working out? How many people are you deceiving in the local church? Stop it. Come back to a place where you trust God. Notice, he says, therefore, I tell you, stop being perpetually uneasy. That's worry. Perpetual uneasiness is worry. Would you like to pray about that today, my brother, my sister? Has your life begun to exhibit a perpetual uneasiness? It's an uneasiness in a myriad of different areas, and finances is just one. Are you also lonely? You also miss camaraderie and been single a little too long, maybe you think? A perpetual uneasiness, anxious, worried about your life. I'd like to pray today because I have a sense that the Lord has impressed upon my heart to pray for the body of Christ regarding this perpetual uneasiness that we have about our own life. Like, God's not capable of taking care of me. You know, I don't make that much, you know, and, you know, we don't have much, but, you know, we just thank God for shoes. I'm not talking about struggle, barely making it, brothers and sisters. Our Heavenly Father is not lacking in resources. His children just don't believe. Would you like to stop the perpetual uneasiness and the anxiousness that you have today and just learn how to rest in the Lord? Let's pray about that. I want you to take a moment and just relax your mind. Try to bring calm to your mind and just allow the Lord's presence to just remove this perpetual uneasiness that has stormed its way into your life. Father, in the name of Jesus, I command that perpetual uneasiness to cease today. I pray that the Holy Spirit would extract it out of the heart in the name of Jesus. Cause your people to once again, Lord, depend solely upon you. Your track record has been proven over time and again that whoever you're with, you can care for their life. Without them working for you, without them working, without them doing anything, you can just care for them and bless them, just like you did Joseph. In spite of what he went through, Lord, he had this testimony that the Lord was with him. I'm praying, Lord, for these that are bound by the spirit of worry, bound by this false identity that we have to overly concern ourselves in perpetual uneasiness about our own life. No, that stops today, Father. I trust you. I'm once again depending solely on your ability, not my smarts, not my education, not my degree. Lord, it will let me down. I depend on God Almighty. I depend upon the principles of Scripture and what you're speaking out of the Word of God. Lord, I put my trust in you with all my heart. And I don't lean to my own understanding. In all my ways, I acknowledge that you are God, and you shall direct my paths. Thank you today, Father, for helping us. We give you praise. For in Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. And amen. We want to thank God for all of you that are joining us. That's all the time we have on this episode. I'm your host, Pastor Mark Copeland. We'll be back again. And until then, may God's riches be yours. God bless you.